Now it is time to launch season 3 of Images of the Past. Today we talk transportation in the Deadwood area. With us for that is Daryl Nelson with the Days of 76 Museum. Daryl Nelson, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So season 3 of Images of the Past, for listeners who don't know, you can go online, sdpb.org/Dakota Midday or /Images of the Past, and see some really great photos from Days of 76. I haven't been there yet, Daryl, so let's start out by telling me a little bit about the museum itself.
Well, the museum began as an initiative from the Days of 76 community. The Days of 76 began in 1924. And then one of the features of that was the rodeo. So the rodeo has become its own very fully developed entity. And throughout all that time, carriages had been collected for use in the parade. So when I got involved as an employee of the Adams Museum sometime back now, I was to help get the new museum of the Days of 76 open. And that happened in May of 2012. That left the entire carriage collection, in part for which the building had been built, that collection was downstairs and just there, kind of a safe parking lot for these historic vehicles.
Hmm.
So for the last couple of years, my focus has been to turn all those vehicles into a story that engages people. And so on Friday, we're opening that to our members first and then to the public at large.
And all kinds of characters, and we're going to talk about several individual types here. But give me an idea. These are, when I think carriage, these are all animal-powered?
Yes. All animal-pulled, some by ox, some by mule, some by horse.
So what kind of years are we talking about here? Put me in historical context for when these things are being used.
The story begins with the Gold Rush, 1875 to 1876.
Okay.
So we have carriages that I'm using for that, some utility wagons that I'm using to tell that story. We don't know that they specifically were there, but we don't know that they weren't either, because wagons of various kinds were collected since 1924, and a number of them we know nothing about. So I'm using them to tell the story that is a valid story, but we can't specifically say this one was used for this purpose. So we have the farm utility wagons, we have freight wagons, we have stagecoaches, beer wagons, hearses, a whole interesting range that cover, in the story that I've built, they trace the story of Deadwood from that first 1875 Gold Rush story all the way into the 20s.
So when you approach an artifact like a wagon, there's a certain size to it already, and you don't know the story necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what sort of clues are you looking at as a historian to figure out what was this one used for, or what story might it have to tell me?
Okay. We can match those with historic photographs. Hmm. So one of my tasks has been to link each one to a Deadwood picture that validates its use at that time. So, for example, we have chuck wagons, we have lots of stagecoach pictures, lots of freight wagon pictures, and each of these comes with a date. So we can honestly say this would have typified the economy and the lifestyle and the industry in Deadwood at that time.
Huh. How instrumental are these vehicles in the development of Deadwood and its economy, how it becomes a community?
Oh, absolutely critical. In the very beginning, everything came on freight wagons. And by came on, I mean tedious travel from the Missouri River at a mile an hour being pulled by a dozen or 18 oxen.
Hmm.
So the whole area was entirely dependent on the freight wagons. And then there were stagecoaches, which brought a more general population. So everything came here from afar. And then once here, you can see the history or the economy and the social world of Deadwood growing as the wagons changed. So at a certain point in the story, I introduce carriages that are clearly city vehicles. They have no business being here. They would have been brought here. But they're here because Deadwood had developed to the point where there was a social life and the roads were good enough.
Sure.
So as an exhibits person, it's fun for me to show the changes in life through the changes in the vehicles.
I'm kind of stuck mentally on a dozen to 18 oxen. And some of the sort of details of that has to be a really arduous sort of dangerous kind of way to travel.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when they began, it was illegal. This was Lakota land, and the very first bull trains, which what they were called, were burned by the army and sent back. But one of our prime examples is that when the area was annexed by the government in 1877 and became open for freer communication or freer transportation and development, the bull trains resumed. And one of the gentlemen, Fred Evans, by the early 1880s, was hauling 7 million pounds of freight a year, and he was one of a number of operations. So that shows the extent of that traffic. And a point I like to make is that is the time, 1876, when the famous characters were in Deadwood. And as I often point out to tours, corporate America was already here in the form of these freight lines and these stagecoaches. So it's a fun story for me.
Right. What are they bringing? That's a whole lot of freight. 7 million
everything.
Pounds of freight. What's all coming? Everything. Yeah.
Everything. Everything that was not made here. So the things that were made here eventually were bricks and lumber. And other than that, in the early days, women could order dresses from Paris. They would take a while, but they would get here. All groceries. You could order oysters from San Francisco. They'd come on ice and not be all that fresh, I'm sure. Any kind of goods, any kind of hardware, anything that one sees in a picture of the time, if it's not wood or brick, it came in a freight wagon.
I'm looking at photos from the web posting of beer wagons and milk wagons. So let's talk about a little bit of beer wagon there. That sounds interesting.
As early as 1876, which is early in a year after the gold rush formally began, brewers were started. So these northern Europeans really wanted their beer. As I tease tour groups, if it had been populated mostly by Italians or Greeks, they might have grown vineyards instead. So the beer wagon shows the social life and the economy, because the beer wagon we have served saloons. It was a wholesale product. So that shows how quickly that developed, both and the preferences of the public at the time. But the business networks were really quite early. When people came here, kind of unlike the Romantic notions, they meant business. They wanted to make money. So very quickly, businesses were established, and all the things you needed to get your product around and distributed. And beer wagons and then milk wagons were an example of that.
I'm looking at the photo. I think it's the beer wagon, and it's long. Describe it to me, and how this would have worked and delivery of a is it? It's perishable.
They were kegs. Uh-huh. So there were lines of kegs that were easily removed. Well, they're heavy, but they're removed by workers. And they had fifth wheels that allowed them to turn in very tight spaces. Now, I have physically moved all the carriages, and I can tell you which ones are a real pain and which ones move easily. The beer wagon looks very heavy, but in fact, a person could push it on a level floor. And so it was a delivery wagon that was very practical. You could back it up. You could turn it into a loading dock. So behind the beer wagon is an industry of delivery of people who are producing the product in the breweries, and then the getting it to wherever you had to in town. Sure. So there was a chain of individuals who each had separate jobs. So there was an economic network that is pointed to by the beer wagon, unlike the milk wagon, which came from a dairy and went house to house in rural delivery. And there was no place really for the driver to stand in a milk wagon, because the horse knew where to stop. So it's a different socioeconomic world between the beer wagon and milk wagon. And I'd like to point that out, because otherwise, as you're going by, you think, oh, there's just a wagon. And I'm saying, no, behind each one is a story.
Yeah. Engineering. It's a different technology and different engineering innovations probably involved in different ones. What did you notice as you were just sort of moving them around, like you say, as far as the technology of the time was concerned?
I've become kind of a wagon geek. And you can see that if you look at all carefully, that most of them are quite different underneath. You mentioned innovation. Somebody was innovating all the time, different kinds of brake structure, different kinds of fifth wheels, many different kinds of springs. And what that tells me is there are a lot of entrepreneurs thinking they can make money with all these different variations. It's like automobiles in a way that you invent this, you invent this, and you invent this, changing all the time. Hmm. And we don't think of wagons as being that dynamic, but as this exhibit of 50 wagons shows, there was a vigorous world of inventors submitting patent applications on different wagon parts. It's a fascinating story into itself.
So you spent quite a bit of time getting this exhibit ready, telling the story, working on the interpretation. How do you display a wagon so that people, you protect it as an artifact, but people can also engage in it, not only in the story, but in the artifact itself and sort of see it from different angles? That's a challenge for you.
It is. Well, one of the disadvantages that I saw at the beginning was, oh, man, these are a bunch of old-looking wagons. It doesn't compare to the pristine, perfectly restored wagon collections you can see across the country.
Huh.
And I slowly realized, well, that's the asset. You can touch everything.
Ah.
And that's allowable because it is a working collection that actually goes up. Most of them go up. They go out the door every July to use in the parade.
Oh,
so that's
the light bulb just
touching.
Came on there,
yes,
for me.
Right. So now that liability is an asset because people love to touch.
Yeah.
They can do everything but get up into the wagon. And we have stagecoach out in the lobby for that purpose, and people do that all the time. The rest of them, you can walk right up to and feel the brakes and get the sense of the weight. So they aren't protected like other kinds of artifacts are. And we have some of those kinds of artifacts in the entire collection. We have them protected. But the wagons themselves are very much there to be experienced.
Daryl Dulson is with the Days of 76 Museum in Deadwood. Daryl, we're going to stop out and see that exhibit as soon as we can get there. You can read more and see photos by going online, sdpb.org/images of the past. Daryl Dulson, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.